welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is the Athletics dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you on a rather overcast, gray, kind of gloomy Wednesday morning. Allison, this city should be in a better mood. Training camp has started. Allison Lucan is here. Everybody.
Hello. Listen, I love that fall is here. And if it takes a little rain to bring it, that's fine with me.
I'm fine with fall. A little sun would be nice today, and I'm not even a big sun guy. Anyways, Blue Jackets, all kinds of stuff went on yesterday, Allison. It was a media day, but who cares about that? They blew up the hockey world. One guy's is going to stay here for a while. Elvis Merzlikin signs a five-year contract extension that gives him six more years under his terms in Columbus. And another guy may not be coming at all, probably won't be, Zach Rinaldo, who is not vaccinated, told to stay away from training camp. The Blue Jackets have 67 players invited to camp. Rinaldo is not one of them because he, again, is not vaccinated. The other 67 are vaccinated. We'll get to Rinaldo, and that's an intriguing situation there. Let's start, Allison, if we can, with Elvis Merzlikins. 5 years, $27 million extension. That keeps him here through 26, 27. This says a lot just at face value on what this club feels about Elvis Merzlikins. It also says that they've made a decision, Allison.
It does. And, you know, it's a little bit of a torn issue for me. I mean, I am on record as saying that I think that Elvis is the better goaltender. Obviously he brings a marketability to him that is very unique and special as well, that can help this franchise as they go through this process they're going through. But you know, I feel for Jonas Korpisalo. I get it. This is a ruthless business. It is better to make the decision. But I feel like just to announce the decision this way, like you said, it was just media day yesterday. Would have loved an acknowledgement of the process here and an acknowledgement, a proper perhaps acknowledgement of Korpisalo, if you will, even if he is now by de facto perhaps on his way out at some point this year. So I, on a business level, I like the move. I understand the move. On a human level, woo boy, that's a cold way to make your decision and let the world know what it is.
Well, pro sports is just
brutal.
It's brutal. And it's mean as hell. It's who's better. We've said this before. I think in this space, there are super good guys, really good people you root for that just can't do what another person who you may find detestable can do with ease. And that doesn't relate at all to Korpisalo and Merzlikins. I'm not saying that. It's a king of the jungle business in a lot of ways. Can you do it? And it's particularly more harsh at the goaltending position, obviously, because only one player can tend goal in a game for a team. It's not like if you're not quite ready to be the number one center, you still get to play second or third line duty, maybe some power play. There's a way to take care of that. This team needed to make a call, and I get what you're saying. I think for Korpisalo, I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent after this season. Merzlikins was going to be. I think for Korpisalo, I think maybe it's fair to say that the club's intent was really even drawn a year ago when Korpisalo signed for $2.8 million. And Merzlikins signed for four. And that rubbed some people, including Korpisalo, the wrong way. The tea leaves you could start reading at that point. I'm not sure that this lands as a gut punch to Korpisalo, maybe as much as we think it did, because I think he was probably already reading the situation. This is just finality, I think, to him, where there's an understanding now that he's going to go elsewhere. And rather than split and do this 40-50% split with the other guy, both of these guys want to be starters. Corpusalo probably would have loved for it to be here. He waited his turn. He did everything right. But now he's going to get an opportunity, one assumes, to go somewhere and be a goaltender where maybe the traffic's not so crowded. And I guess we'll see how that develops in the next year or so.
Well, sure. But I mean, you know, and I don't disagree with any point you've made. But when you break up with someone, you can sit them down, even if they know that it's coming, and, you know, acknowledge and honor what it was and honor the person, or you can wait till they see you out with a different date, right? So and listen, it's not like I'm screaming from the rooftops here that this is the most awful thing in history. I just, for, you know, again, this is an organization that we talked about, and the organization talked about honoring the commitment that Corpusalo made and waiting his turn and all those things. I just would have loved it. It feels a little discarding in nature. Even if that is the reality of what it is, there's a way to do that in a communication is everything. Everyone's sick of me talking about it. Just would have loved to see maybe a different communication choice around a decision that ultimately I'm fine with.
Yeah. And you know, what this says, and I think there's some people still out there wondering if Elvis Merzlikins can do it, if he can be the number one. This says that the Blue Jackets don't have that question anymore.
Right,
that they believe this is the guy, and let's just be honest. I've felt like this was where it should have gone for a while now. Do you have any hesitation, Allison, in making Elvis Merzlikins? You know who he is. You know the player he is, also the person he is. Any hesitation turning this team over to him?
Zero. And I say that and I mean that, but also if we know anything about hockey, we just talked about how brutal the sport is in terms of what happened here with Corpusalo, but just because you have a contract doesn't mean you're here for the entirety of the contract either. So,
100%.
But again, I don't mind it. This is an organization that's kind of getting themselves resituated. I know Zach Werenski said he doesn't want to hear rebuild, so let's go with something else now. But he has a little time to grow into this role. It's not like if he falters that the organization is sunk because of this decision in at least the first year. We have seen that this is a player that thrives when he knows what his role is and knows that he, quote unquote, owns the net. I think he's an exceptional player. I think, again, he's an exceptional personality. This team needs personalities. They need to market those personalities. He's the starter. Let's go.
Yes, let's get marketing these guys.
Yes.
Let's see Elvis out of his natural, out of his goalie gear.
Yes, please.
Let's get going here.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what? And one of the things that I think has changed in the last 6 months, and it's a touchy subject because Nick Foligno loved Columbus. Cam Atkinson loved Columbus. And the question at the time of the Cam Atkinson trade was, you keep saying you want people who want to be Blue Jackets. You just traded the guy who wants to be a Blue Jacket more than just about anybody else. So that was an interesting little wrinkle this summer. But I think what we've seen in the follow-up is Zach Werenski committing to Columbus long-term when he really didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Got a nice contract, by the way. Elvis Merzlikins will tell anybody how much he loves the city of Columbus and appreciates the fans. The Q&A we did with him a couple of weeks ago, he basically thanked the Blue Jackets fans for keeping his career going after a rough start in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Corrali comes back home, where this franchise has even though surprisingly they've traded Foligno and Cam Atkinson, they seem to have fostered an even more intense feel about players who want to be here, which is really important given what the franchise has gone through in the previous few seasons.
100%. And, you know, also, you know, one thing that I really appreciated, and I don't know if we'll get to this more later, but Jake Voracek comes back and talks yesterday at Media Day, and he was very honest about what this organization was when he was here last. And so I think that's part of this too, is now it kind of has to not be a big deal that players want to play at the organization, right? Because that's that's where the majority of organizations should get to, is that for whatever the real reason is that everyone's saying, I love being here, and they're choosing to go to the club that they go to. And I think that when the part of why Nick Foligno is so beloved and why Cam Atkinson is so beloved and even David Savard is that these players came here and were part of making this a desirable destination. And so now it has to become a transition to, yeah, just like everybody else, people want to play here. Some do, some don't. It's all good. And, right. and it doesn't become such a thing.
Yeah. And as you've said, I don't know, 2.3 million times, it's not the city.
That's right.
It's the organization.
That's right.
And Jake, I had a nice chat off to the side with Jake yesterday. When Jake was here before, he lived right down in the heart of it all. Loved it, and was enthralled with downtown Columbus, living in the Arena District. We've all grown up a bit, Allison. Jake now has a girlfriend and two little ones. They have a place out in New Albany. I don't know that Jake ever was even in New Albany the first time he was here. I'm not sure he knew New Albany existed.
Maybe he went to Easton.
Maybe. He's a fascinating guy, though, and we'll write on this later. It pisses him off when people still think of him today as goofball Jake from his early NHL days. Like he's tried so hard to move beyond that. Yarmo sees it, and Yarmo has talked openly about what a leader he thinks he can become. I think to a lot of people who were in Columbus when Voracek was here the first time, Jake Voracek wasn't a guy that they necessarily associated with being a leader, but maybe it's time to reconsider that. So Merzlikins in camp, and as our great and former colleague Tom Reed noted, that end of the dressing room with Elvis, Laine, Voracek, that's going to be a pretty wild little cubbyhole of the room. They should just have a live mic and a camera going on that at all times.
I hope that they do. It'd be the best thing.
Because the thoughts that could come out of that, there's a joke there somewhere. A Latvian, a Finn, and a Czech walk into a bar. I don't know what the punchline is, but I would love to sit around and listen to it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Really the news that broke yesterday. So the Merzlikin stuff happened after media day. He's going to talk today in a few hours about his new contract. But the news that broke before we gathered yesterday, so they handed out rosters, 67 guys in camp, Allison.
Good Lord.
They have three groups, which is amazing. And I immediately went to the roster and was like, there's no Ronaldo here.
Mm-hmm.
Went over to Yarmo and John Davidson and said, hey, are you fellas, jokingly, you guys good for a few questions before you take the dice? And they said, no questions. No, we're only – but was assured that it wasn't a typo, because how odd would that have been? He's not on the roster. The team has told him to stay away, Allison. He is not vaccinated. They don't want people here who are not vaccinated. And it's an interesting call. We've been told that about 1% of the league is not vaccinated. And this is where it gets interesting to me. The league has set up parameters, protocols, I should say, for how to handle players who aren't vaccinated. So there's, I guess infrastructure is the word. It's in place. The Blue Jackets didn't want to deal with that. And so Zach Ronaldo is at this point scheduled to go to AHL camp, which begins in a couple weeks. But that just feels like a punt to me, Allison. I feel like that is just, I don't know that that's an official decision. It's not like they're saying, we don't want you to infect us here. Go infect people in Cleveland. I just feel like that's a punting of a decision. And I wonder how that news arrived at your ears yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. And I saw a lot of, oh, so they just think that they're going to infect the players at the AHL level. I mean, come on, people. Like, no, that's not what they think. and this is where our soundbite Twitter-based world can hurt us, because if people paid attention to the entire session with Blue Jackets front office, John Davidson gave a very impassioned statement on how important vaccination and following not just the protocols, but the science and the advice of medical personnel are. And if you think after listening to what Yarmo has said and what JD has said and what this organization did, in fact, with an assistant coach already, that they're just like, yeah, whatever, we don't care, make it someone else's problem, I think that's very short-sighted. And I think you're taking the easy way out mentally. If you look at some critical thinking here, there's going to have to be, and you mentioned this after media day yesterday, there's going to be some consideration, I'm sure, from the Players Association on how this is handled. And so this might buy some time, but this is not a player making $5, $6, $7, $8 million. And ultimately, is this a situation where, worst case scenario, if the contract isn't voided or negated in some way, or the player is put on unconditional waivers, that this organization says, listen, fine, it's less than $1 million. Here's your check. Just stay home. Because nothing about what this organization has said and the people in the front office have said about managing through this COVID situation says to me that it's just, he'll go down to the AHL. Because listen, every other player who's supposed to be down in the AHL is in fact in camp. So I would be surprised if we see this player remain unvaccinated and also playing around Blue Jackets players anywhere in the organization. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised by this, and I understand why the PA is reviewing it. Because again, the league and the PA went through great effort this summer to set up, here's what will happen for a player who isn't vaccinated. Now, the Blue Jackets are framing this, and I get this too, as a team first approach. So you've got 67 guys that are vaccinated. You've got one guy who isn't. Are you going to have an entire different set of protocols behind the scene for one guy?
Right.
Are you going maybe bring in extra staff to constantly test the one guy? If that one guy were making $5 million a year and playing a top four defense or top six forward role, you may consider it. A guy like Zach Werenski, Zach Ronaldo, Freudian. A guy like Zach Ronaldo, you think is just not. This is just isn't worth it. This is a guy in a two-way deal. But I'm a little surprised, and I do think the PA is going to have something to say about the team just saying, yeah, obviously they're obligated to pay the money. These are guaranteed contracts. But if he's sent to AHL camp, my assumption is he's going to make AHL money, which is $275 compared per his contract compared to $750. Mm-hmm. So it's the other thing I keep coming back to is he signed in June.
Yep.
It is surprising to me that nobody asked him, or maybe people were misled about the willingness or the importance to get vaccinated, that no one asked him if he was planning to get vaccinated.
Right.
Because it was still a pretty big deal at that point. I suppose I can't imagine this happening, but Ronaldo could have a change of heart or look at his bank account and realize maybe he does need this job more. But he could go get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and be ready for AHL camp in 2 weeks. Again, seems unlikely. He seems pretty entrenched in this stance, but it seems like it's kind of a slippery slope for the Blue Jackets, but I admire they're just not messing around, Allison. I get this sense from a lot of teams that they're just done with all the, if I may, they're done with the bullshit.
Yep.
They're done.
Well, we all are. We're all exhausted.
Yeah. But like, It's one thing to have discussions with people you disagree with, but now when you're in the building working with that person or on the same team as that person, and it's really affecting your day to day, they're just done. And again, if this were a more prominent player as opposed to a guy who was probably going to spot in for a handful of games this year, maybe they make an exception, but he's not worth it is the honest answer. Any thoughts to that?
No, I agree. And, you know, I think to your point of not asking in June, I mean, they hired a coach who wasn't vaccinated and, you know, that came really close to go time as well. So, you know, and again, I think people are all learning. Maybe people thought that people would have changes of heart. You know, Elliot Friedman put out in his 32 thoughts this week that, you know, there were some players who, when push came to shove, did in fact change their mind in terms of would they get the vaccine. And maybe front offices were hearing that and hoping that that was going to continue as a trend. But yeah, look, like I've said, everyone has the right to make decisions and everyone has the responsibility to face any consequences, good or bad, of those decisions. And here we are.
Yeah. And the Blue Jackets are not screwing around with this. It's pretty clear where they come in on this.
Yep.
Sylvain Lefebvre, you mentioned the assistant coach, fired because he would not get vaccinated. And you got to be vaccinated.
Yep.
I don't know how else that one could have played out, but the players are a little bit different because they've got the protection of the players union. So I don't think this Ronaldo story is quite over yet, but we'll follow it as she moves along, but he's not in camp. They've punted a decision for 2 weeks. I'm not sure he shows up at Cleveland camp. I'm not sure he can get across the Canadian border unvaccinated.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So strange days. You mentioned Sylvain Lefebvre. We should do some house cleaning here. Housekeeping. Yes. Here. Lefebvre fired. In his stead, the Blue Jackets promoted Steve McCarthy, who had been coaching in the American Hockey League. That, of course, causes a ripple effect. Well, now they need Allison, a coach in Cleveland. And this is not the best time, in case you didn't know, to go looking for hockey coaches. The music has stopped. The chairs have been taken. So the Blue Jackets looked internally to fix both of those spots. McCarthy, as we mentioned, comes up from the American Hockey League. And Mark Letestu, who was hired just a couple of months ago in a part-time capacity in player development, now has begun his coaching career. I think this is where he wanted it to go, and maybe it happened quicker than anyone could have anticipated. He is now an assistant coach with AHL Cleveland. He will coach, though he a former forward, he will coach the defenseman. The Blue Jackets will bring Craig Hartsburg, a veteran NHL coach, who has remained with the team as a consultant. He stepped down, I believe, in 2017. He's going to remain do some more work with Cleveland this year, because at some point you may need a person with experience having coached defensemen. So that Cleveland staff now has Mike Eaves at the top with Trent Vogelhuber and Mark Letestu as the assistants. And Allison, this weekend in Traverse City, Trent Vogelhuber, you stick around long enough, you get a heck of an opportunity. And Eaves has a fall in his home a week or so ago, screws up his shoulder, has to have a shoulder surgery. And McCarthy gets promoted to the NHL job. And that leaves Trent Vogelhuber to coach the young fellows in the Prospects Tournament in Traverse City. And Trent Vogelhuber, a local kid, Dublin, Ohio, the godfather of local hockey players, steps in. And Allison, he was magnificent.
Yes, as were the players. Again, we talk about this being a period here of evolution, of growth, of kind of the next generation of what's going to happen with this Blue Jackets organization. And again, it gives you an opportunity to do that behind the bench as well. I thought it was pretty cool. It's got to be pretty cool for these guys. I mean, they certainly don't want to see Mike Eaves injured, but it's got to be pretty cool to say, hey, guess what? You get a shot now. And I really like the choice of Mark Letestu. As you said, this is perhaps a path he wanted to go down. I think it's a great fit who he is, how he thinks the game, how he communicates. And the Blue Jackets are honestly fortunate that they had resources from which to pull to fill all the seats that waterfall down and became open, whether it be for just a tournament or for a permanent spot behind the bench.
Yeah. And you mentioned the play up there. It was a wild tournament. It was, they knew they were going to be good in this tournament. I think, you know, this is the first year we mentioned this in a couple of years. This is the first time in a few years Columbus has gone up there loaded with first round draft picks and high end difference making talent. And Allison, it certainly was that. There, we've got stories all over the Athletic site. I threw some observations out there, but we had several prospects writers up there. Scott Wheeler, Corey Promen both got into it. And the Blue Jackets put on a show, Allison. They were fantastic. Chinnikov, 6 goals, even though he only played 3 games. Sillinger looked like a stud, two-way play. Josh Dunn was an impactful player. I thought Jake Christensen looked good on defense. Pretty spectacular week. And I thought of it through this prism a lot. If you're a rebuilding franchise who has staked a lot on the next wave, you need, when that wave is playing against its peers, it should look spectacular. And the way Sillinger and Chinnikov played, the two high-end guys, that's what Columbus needed to see at this tournament.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we talked last episode about you have to be careful how much stock you put in anything good or bad from this tournament. But it is really nice when a player catches the eye in a good way. And, you know, you mentioned Christensen. That was a player who I wasn't expecting to catch my eye, but he caught mine as well. I liked both goaltenders. I thought they played quite well. And yes, you need these young players to not just pop in the context of this tournament, but, you know, just as much as you need it for the talent and the organization, what is important too, and again, we talk about this evolution of it, people wanting to be part of Columbus at all different levels, for all the scouts to see Yarmo's picks and his staff's picks playing out, proving to be the talent they thought they were. You have to, I mean, Yarmo's a good poker face, but I can't imagine every time Chinnikov scored, fuck you, you know, it's such a great step. And as you said, for so many of these players to be coming from within it was funny when the Blue Jackets played Detroit, I was looking at Detroit's roster and I was like, you know, that's an organization that's supposed to be rebuilding. Where is all their high-end talent? And they had some injuries and such as well, but for them to come in with a lot of talent that is in the organization and perform as well as they did, these are all puzzle pieces that lead to where this organization wants to be in a matter of a few years.
Yeah. And I kept looking at it too, like, which of these guys might be in the NHL this season?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not crazy to say that 5 of these guys could get a look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chinnikov's going to play in the NHL at some point this season. I don't know if he sticks. I don't know if it's a long-term thing, if it's a test or not. You know, and I think he's the guy that you need to factor what that tournament was, maybe more than the others. That's an incredible shot.
Oh, my Lord.
It's a great shot. But as one scout said, there are no NHL goalies here. That's a huge difference. I'm not sure he's going to be left alone on the power play to shoot like that. Now, he can make adjustments. He'll have to make adjustments. We assume he will. Taking nothing away from him, incredible performance at this camp. 6 goals, 13 shots. But now we have to see how it translates to the NHL. That's true for all of them. Can he get the puck back? Will he have that space? The goaltenders are going to be bigger. They're going to be better. They're going to anticipate like these kids at Traverse City have not yet learned to do. For sure, Chinnikov's going to play at some point in the NHL this season. I'm just curious to see how much of a taste he gets and how long he sticks. The preseason will be huge for him.
Yeah. And for me, the thing with him, and I say this in a positive way, I know that this player did not have a great season last year. I was jokingly calling him the Patrick Laine of the Traverse City power play tournament. Because he just hangs out, gets that shot, and you can't stop it.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine a mirror image of Laine on the right side, and that's what you had. So, to your point, he's not necessarily going to get that space either. And what's going to play into this for me is not just what Chinakhov does in camp, but also how this roster fills out, because this is not a player I think we've seen this organization try things like this before, and I don't love it. To bring him in for like bottom six, little bit of minutes just for some power play juice. Again, this is a season where, in the context, winning isn't the most important thing in the world this year. So you don't have to do everything you can to squeeze out every single goal, as much as that may pain some people to think about. And if this player can't be in the right spot in the 5-on-5 lineup, that's going to impact whether or not he makes the roster out of camp and how much he plays.
Yeah. See, as long as he's in the top nine, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm fine with that. And you dabble the power play time in there. The one guy I think who's a year younger is, and Cole Sillinger was fantastic in a more subtle way. Everyone was more subtle than Chinakhov, the way that he blasted it. Sillinger played more of a 200-foot game. Physically, he's there. You can hear Jarmo Kekalainen talk about him, and he doesn't seem to have any concerns about the things you typically have concerns about regarding 18-year-old players.
Yeah.
And I've been saying this for a while. Every indication is that he's going to get a really good look to make the team. And if you look at this team's depth chart down the middle, I don't think it's out of the question. Now, do you want to saddle him with the top six role at 18 years old?
Right.
I mean, this is going to sound crazy, and I don't know if I do. Even if the answer to this is yes, I'm not sure I want him to play that role in the NHL yet, because it's so heavy and so rich. But he might be the most qualified player right now.
Yeah.
To play on their top line.
Yeah.
Given his two-way game. Now, we haven't seen it against NHL talent. Same goes for him as for Chinakhov. But the way he plays, I'll be shocked if it doesn't translate to the NHL, because he just does not shy away from combativeness or contact. And he doesn't run people. He is a solid, involved player. Yeah, the other kid that I left that tournament thinking, whoa, he is going to have a long and solid NHL career as a bottom six forward, is Josh Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just looks like a St. Louis Blue to me. Just a big, stout, heavy character, combative type guy. And then there are two other guys who had really good AHL seasons last year. They now have NHL components in their contract, Carson Meyer and Tyler Angle. I think things would have to fall really right for them, and maybe it's a situation where the club brings them up just to look at them in an NHL setting. I'm not sure they win jobs out of training camp or even have that opportunity, to be honest. But I think Angle and Meyer are on the cusp of getting a shot in the NHL. So they had a lot of guys at this tournament, Allison, and they played like it too. Jay Christensen too. We should consider him, I think, as a bubble guy in the NHL now. They worry about his size, his ability to defend, which is, of course, a key component to defensemen. But, boy, is he smooth, and can he move the puck on the power play? So some names to keep in mind. All in all, it was a fantastic weekend at Traverse City. Everything the Blue Jackets could have dreamed of seeing from this group, they saw it. No major injuries. The skill guys look like skill guys. The tough guys look like tough guys. There was a real cohesiveness to this team, which is shocking when you consider they've known each other for about 6 days.
Right.
They played hard, and they played for each other. And that's a hell of a thing to foster if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets.
100% agree. And they, again, all pieces to a puzzle, all very positive. And again, this group didn't even have, I mean, they had a pseudo development camp, but usually some of this group has played together in a development camp in the summer. So yeah, a very impressive showing by everyone involved.
And I can't wait to go back.
Well, always. All our restaurants survived, which I'm very happy for. Congratulations to the city of Traverse. We love them.
It did not get to mini putt, though.
I'm sorry. I never mini putt. It's not my thing.
And the Sunday needs to be the off day.
Always.
So, but we persevered.
And more bars need NFL Sunday ticket, we learned.
Yes. That's or the Browns lesson. Should just be the national game.
Or that. Yes.
And, you know, well, no, I'm not going to go. I'm just not a. Yeah. Anyways, Rasmus Dahlin has signed, by the way.
Oh, congratulations.
The RFAs are being ticked off. Or, I mean, they're being taken care
of. Yes.
Anything else, Allison?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for being with us. We will talk to you next week, I'm sure. Lots to discuss. The Blue Jackets training camp is here. They take the ice Thursday for the first time. And we will stay in touch. We'll talk to you soon.